brothers and sisters, the Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Glory to you, O Lord. Lord Jesus, be in our minds and on our lips and in our hearts. Jesus went into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others Elijah, still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter said in reply, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus said to him in reply, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my heavenly Father. And so I say to you, you are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of the netherworld shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly ordered his disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to address two things today from the sacred scriptures. One, the action and intention of God in creating the church. Brothers and sisters, the church is God's work for the salvation of all of humanity. We heard in the second reading how God's ways are far above our ways. For as Romans says, who has known the mind of the Lord, who has been his counselor? If we think about Jesus' choice today of Peter, it would seem like utter madness that he would choose Simon to be the rock on which he would build his church. At least from one point of view, it would seem like a foolish, mad choice. Here we have a simple Galilean fisherman who has no background in religion, very little religious knowledge. According to the Acts of the Apostles, he was a simple, uneducated man, and yet now he is chosen by Jesus to be the leader of the church, the prime minister of the great King of Kings, our Lord. You know, instead of a rock, if we look at Peter, we could say he's more like sandstone than a hard rock because he crumbles under pressure often. He denied Jesus three times under pressure. And we know from the letters of Paul, when the Gentiles were eating with Peter and religious Jews came, Peter withdrew. He pulled back from the Gentiles as though they were still unclean. And Paul got very angry with him and had to reprimand him in front of everybody. So Simon, to be the rock, to be Peter. So when Jesus said, "You are rock," it was Kephas. Jesus changed his name. Well, fallible Simon. Yes, fallible Simon. Jesus' choice. The church is not a human work, but a divine work. It's a work of God. And it was Jesus' choice to choose Peter. Today we see Jesus establishing an office, making Peter the rock on which to build the church, but giving him the keys and giving him the authority to bind and to loose. In that first reading we heard from Isaiah, King David had established the office of what we might call the office of prime minister. So David the king had a prime minister who was a father to the house of David, who had the keys of the kingdom of David, who had the authority to bind and to loose. And we know that this was an office because Shebna was occupying it, but Isaiah said that God was going to take Shebna out of that office and put Eliakim in the office because Eliakim was worthy. Shebna was misusing his power. So we know this. Jesus was doing the same thing now. He was creating this office of prime minister. And while Peter at first seems like a very bad choice, by the grace of God, he was a good choice. Because he was revealing the power of God that works in all of us. All of us are part of this church built on the foundation of the apostles. All of us animated by the power of God, the Spirit of God, reveal God's glory. The second thing we can draw from our scriptures is our witness to Jesus. Jesus asked his apostles, "Who do people say that I am?" Now imagine if we went out and did a poll, we'd probably get a lot of different answers as well. I don't know if you've ever had think about that. What if you asked your own family members, maybe some who aren't coming to church, "Who do you say Jesus is?" We're out on the streets. There was a group called the Barnum Group, and they do religious polls. And they did that, just that. They went out into the United States, called all sorts of different people. It was a telephone poll. Got a lot of different answers about who Jesus is. About 8% thought that Jesus was a myth. They weren't sure that he even existed. All right, so 8% not sure he even exists. About 25% thought that Jesus was a wise teacher, kind of like a Buddha. But that's it, just a wise teacher. About 50%, and thank God for 50%, actually believed what Peter believed. Peter confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of the living God. 50% of those polls agreed with that. They believed Jesus to be divine. That's good news. 60%, when asked how they felt about Jesus in terms of a relationship, at least 60% of those asked said that at some point in their life, they made a commitment to Jesus, some form of commitment. So even those people who didn't believe that he was divine recognized that he was somebody that they could follow. That's beautiful. When we think about our answer to that question, "Who do you say that I am?" This is so important for all of us, brothers and sisters. We reveal the answer to that question by our lives, how we live our lives. Peter and the apostles revealed who the Christ was. I think when Peter first answered that question, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God," I'm not sure he completely understood what he was saying. Jesus indicated that that revelation was not of flesh and blood. It wasn't just Peter talking to others about Jesus. That this was something that came
to him from a revelation from God the Father himself, that God had revealed this to him. And it was up, of course, to Peter to understand that. After everybody confessed Jesus to be the Christ, the Son of God, wouldn't you think that they'd go out and tell the whole world? But what did Jesus do? He said, tell no one. Tell no one. Why? The most important revelation had just been revealed, and Jesus said, yes, I am the Christ. Tell no one. People had the wrong idea about the Christ. They were looking at the Christ as, from a Jewish point of view, as someone who was going to come in with power, with military might, with the power of God, and reestablish the kingdom of David as the highest of all the kingdoms on the earth. They were looking for somebody who could get rid of Rome, this occupying power, and put them in their place. But Jesus wasn't that kind of Christ. There. That's the Christ. The one that everybody rejected. If you are the Christ, come down from the cross, the high priest will say. Even his own apostles ran away. Where were they? Proclaiming him to be the Christ. They weren't there. Only a few. Mary was there. Mary Magdalene, the beloved disciple. The rest weren't there. How is this church ever going to get going? It wasn't until after Jesus' death and his resurrection and his ascension and the gift of the Holy Spirit that he sent from the Father to animate the church, then and only then was Jesus proclaimed boldly without fear that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus took these men and Peter who crumbled under pressure and began to change them into the true apostles that we honor and love. And they revealed their love for Jesus Christ. One of the most moving experiences I had was to go to Rome on my sabbatical and to kind of crawl underneath. They have what's called the Scavi Tour, where you can basically go underneath the Church of St. Peter's Basilica and see the excavations there. And the most moving part of it was looking at the place where they discovered the bones of St. Peter. Literally. I can't even begin to tell you the feeling to recognize that I'm looking at the bones of Peter, the man from Galilee that Jesus said was the rock on which I'm going to build my church. And literally, that's what happened. That was fulfilled in every single way possible. The amazement of it all, the wonder of it all. How did God do this? He took a simple, uneducated Galilean fisherman and he ended up in Rome preaching the gospel. Amazing. But it shows you what the grace of God can do in all of us, brothers and sisters. The church is a work of God. Every one of us here is a part of that work. It's kind of a wonder for us all. Lord, how can you use me? What am I? But we all can do what our own share. I'm going to invite everybody to consider reaching out to those around us, in your neighborhoods, your own families. Invite them to church. Bring them here. The number one way people come back to the church is by a simple invitation. It's as natural as it can be. You don't have to force anything. Just say, hey, would you come to church? We'll go out to breakfast afterwards. We have Alpha coming up. Alpha Course is, it's just a wonderful way to introduce people to the gospel. Simple way. A free meal, good fellowship, and good content. It works. If you haven't been on Alpha, I just want to encourage you to think about it. It's going to be coming up soon. Pick up a bulletin and learn more about it. Brothers and sisters, Jesus asks each of us, "Who do you say that I am?" And let's reveal that answer by the way we show people how deeply we love Jesus, how deeply we love him.